first reading this morning is from Psalm 121 on page 571, the Old Testament. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, page 93 of the New Testament. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from, nor where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's the word of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I am grateful for the new Revised Standard version of the Bible that we have in the pews in front of you. And I hope you were following along as Psalm 121 was read. But I need to tell you about the old King James version of that psalm, because there's an interesting anomaly in the translation. The translation that you have and that Bernie has read says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, period. And then asks a question. From whence cometh my help? ? My help comes from the Lord, answering the rhetorical question. But the King James Bible rendered it differently. And it has led to some wonderful preaching opportunities over the years. Because the King James Version, that translation from 1610, rendered it this way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Period. As though our help comes from the hills. But then, of course, we know it does not. And the psalm goes on to say, My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. But it is enough of a confusion to lend some interest. And I needed to lift that before you today as I launch into this message because I wanted you to know where that comes from. And just hold that little factoid. That's a great word, isn't it? You hear it all over the place these days. That little factoid in your brain for the time being. Today I want to talk about help. I think it's appropriate in the season of Lent that we consider just what kind of help might be needed if we are to arrive at Easter with any hope of it being more than a mere commemoration of something that once happened to Jesus of Nazareth. I am one of those preachers who thinks that Easter must lead to something new in our lives now. I know that for centuries the church has portrayed Easter as pointing to a future bodily resurrection of the faithful dead at the last judgment. And that may well prove to be so. We will not know for sure until we get there. And in the meantime, I confess to you that I am one of those impatient Christians who does not want to wait for the impact of Easter to make a difference in this world. So Lent is a time of preparing for the day of new beginnings. And my question to you today, given Psalm 121, is what kind of help do we need in order to get there, to get to Easter with the transformation that I think it deserves? We live in a culture that markets help in all manner of ways. Help has become a growth industry. We speak of helping professions, and we still reserve a degree of respect for those who respond to that call. Libraries and bookstores are filled with self-help books on practically every subject you can think of. QVC stays on the air on into the wee hours of the morning, offering a variety of implements designed to tuck your tummy, erase your cellulite, and restore your lost youth. Consultants roam the corporate landscape demanding huge payments to help identify target markets and demographic niches. Through it all, I cannot fail to observe that in many cases, those being helped the most seem to be those offering that help in the first place. It's not that we don't need the help. It is, though, that we cannot seem to figure out just what kind of help we need. Thus, my reason this morning for choosing to quote the King James mistranslation of Psalm 121, in which the question, "From whence cometh my help?" is incorrectly presented as a statement leading to the incorrect conclusion that the writer thinks help comes from the hills rather than from God. Which leads me again to appreciate in a newly theological way that old cliche, good help is hard to find. Availability of help is not our problem. It is the efficacy of the help we accept that troubles us. To put it simply, in seeking help, we often turn to things that promise much and deliver little. The King James Bible notwithstanding, the psalmist knew that the hills could offer no help. And I am certain that in the Hebrew, there was no confusion about that. We should know the same thing. When we turn to alcohol or drugs or the stock market or the corporate ladder or Dr. Wayne Dwyer, thinking that they offer just the help we need in our moment of crisis. When it comes to preparing the way of new beginnings, these things generally offer nothing that we truly need. I remember a day not long ago when I was home, intent upon staying home to write my sermon, when I received a call. A person seeking the help of a pastor, and it was that generic kind of thing, I need the help of a pastor, and so they came to our door. A person seeking the help of a pastor came to the door of the church, and my presence was required, so I was called. Now, it would be nice to tell you that I was thrilled at the opportunity to interrupt my plan for the day and come to the church to render assistance. But I'm not that good. I was annoyed. It was a beautiful day. I was deep into my sermon preparation, and I wanted that day all to myself. But I came, and I used the drive over here to stuff my personal feelings and gather my resolve to offer as sincere pastoral presence as possible. I prayed as I drove. I prayed that God would use my sinful and imperfect self to provide whatever was needed. My cynical self expected to be hit up for money as soon as I entered the door, and so I was rehearsing my strategy as I approached the building. Upon entering the building, I was introduced to a person in tears, who quickly launched into a very complicated tale of trouble and their desperate attempt to find someone who would help. "What kind of help do you need?" I asked. "I need to change my life," came the reply. "What do you need to change about your life?" I continued. "I need to stop drinking. I know I do, but I cannot do it myself." "Do you have a job?" I asked. "Yes." "Do you have a place to stay?" "Yes, I have an apartment." "Have you been drinking this morning?" "I started drinking last night at 7. I stopped this morning at 4 a.m. "Have you been to sleep at all in that time?" I asked. "No, I have not slept yet. I'm so embarrassed. I should not be this way. What should I do?" "What were you hoping I would do for you?" I asked. "I don't know," came the reply. "I just need some help." "What kind of a church is this? I was saved once. Can I be saved again?" "I believe you can," I said. "But salvation is a big job for one day. Why don't you start by getting some sleep and throwing out all the alcohol in your apartment? Then, if you come back here this afternoon or this evening rather, there is a group meeting here that will know more about what you are facing than I do. They are people who have been through what you are experiencing, and I believe they can help. Then we prayed. The tears stopped. A bit of calm returned. The person left and thanked this church for listening. Was a life changed? That's not up to me. But a moment of peace and hospitality was offered. And I know this, that is the place where God can start to work. I walked out the door and thought, how beautiful the day was. I thought, how beautiful that God can work at least a little bit through my irritated and annoyed self. I thought, how beautiful this job can be. And I thought, how beautiful is the church when it is being the church. How beautiful when someone takes a moment to look up and realize that help comes from God, not from the hills, and certainly not from a bottle. How beautiful it is to realize that God wants nothing less than a new birth in each of us, and that God loved us so much that Jesus was sent to offer a way from death to life.
How beautiful.
Not to condemn,
the hands that serve,
but to save.
The wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hill to the cross. How beautiful.
Thanks be to God.